CFM Stereo. 24/7. CFM Stereo.
Lionel Messi has conquered his final peak. Lionel Messi has shaken hands with paradise.
Argentina, champions of the world. And the nation will tango all night long.
It's time for the biggest sports stories.
Max Verstappen has taken the checkered flag to win the Japanese Grand Prix.
Max Verstappen, two-time world champion.
The biggest interview.
She's unhappy tears, I guess. I don't know. And I wouldn't be Serena if there wasn't Venus. So thank you, Venus.
And all the analysis right here.
There's no question that LeBron James, at the worst, is a top three player in the history of basketball since the game was invented. I don't want to hear that.
I'll tell you.
This is blasphemous.
Let me finish.
Let you finish. I'll let you talk.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport, it's CFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on CFM Stereo. My station, your station.
A very good evening, Zimbabwe. Welcome to it. It is ZFM Sport on a Wednesday. Wacky Wednesday, we call it on the show. And the wacky team is here. Mike Madoda, Alois Bunjira. My name is Barry Manandi, but the man pulling the strings behind the scenes is Sean Tafirenyika. What a show we got lined up for you. Now, Motherwell manager Jens Bertel Asku insists the club is the best placed for Tawanda Mashanise after fending off interest for him during the January transfer window.
No, he's really happy. I've had contact with him throughout the window. He's looked happier than ever, and today he was a big smile and really excited to just kick on. I think maybe a little bit relieved that he doesn't have to speculate about that anymore, because he's really happy to be here.
Well, let's hear what Tawanda has to say about that. Anyway, the New England Patriots are back looking to lift the Vince Lombardi trophy as the stage is set for Super Bowl 60.
The countdown has begun and the stage is set. Biggest week of the season is here. The Patriots have arrived, landing in San Jose ahead of their 11th Super Bowl appearance. Another familiar moment for a franchise built on this stage.
In the beautiful game, former Chelsea player Kai Havertz sends Arsenal through to the Carabao Cup final.
Out by Nkapi. On by Trossard.
He's in on the onside.
Rice to play it across. And Kai Havertz to send Arsenal to Wembley. And a one-time Chelsea Blue has cracked it for the Gunners.
See. Arsenal win it at the death, win on the night, and then obviously win the tie, and go across to Wembley. Deserved.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, look, they were already leading for the first leg.
Yeah.
So it was Chelsea was duty-bound to chase the game, to win the game, and make it interesting on the night. And I felt that Chelsea fell short, and Arsenal got the result that they needed. I think at this stage of any competition, it's always the objective of the team to get into the final. Mm-hmm. How you play, the style, what the pundits will say afterwards really doesn't matter. It's all about getting to Wembley, and Arsenal are heading to Wembley.
Well, Arsenal are indeed heading across to Wembley. Dare I ask about Tawanda Mashani? Said to Alois, no, I won't ask about that. I'll ask him when we are talking about
it. Let him keep his powder dry.
My goodness.
Otherwise, we'll finish the show now.
He'll absolutely go off. Arsenal, the quadruple is still on, and I can't believe I said the Q word, but now we have to, because now they're in a cup final. They've got a chance at a trophy. They're going to take on either it'll be Newcastle or Man City. You got to think just off their fancy their chances.
Yeah, they can think their chances. They're playing well. They're doing well. They've got the momentum. And like I said the other day, I actually believe that there's something positive that is happening at Arsenal. That it might not be the quadruple, but
no,
it's double.
Hard,
I'm sure.
To do, yeah.
I'm sure they'll get two.
At least get two.
I'm sure they'll get two.
And if they were to choose two, they'll probably choose the Champions League.
And
Premier League. No, in the Premier League.
Ah, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think they care about the FA Cup and the Carabao
FA Cup used to be big. The double FA Cup and league double
and
used league, to be big.
It used to be big.
But
yeah.
I think it has been.
I think even that double will be good, a very successful season for
Arsenal. Yeah, very successful indeed. All right. Well, we'll talk about that in the second half of the show. First up, our power play.
I listen to my radio. CFM stereo. The Warriors, the Chevrons, the Cheetahs, the Mighty Warriors, and the Sables. From the pool to the track to the field, we are Team Zimbabwe.
I wonder why we got by our buyer. We are too, but nah, we can understand. We're talking about a warrior. That is Motherwell striker or forward Tawanda Mashinisi, and his manager Jens Bertel Askew has said that he found it easy to fend off the extreme amount of interest in the forward. Earlier on the deadline day, Motherwell had insisted Mashinisi would not be sold in the January transfer window, despite reported interest from Anderlecht and a number of other clubs. Let's hear from Motherwell manager Jens Bertel Askew.
No, he's really happy. I've had contact with him throughout the window. He's looked happier than ever, and today he was a big smile and really excited to just kick on. I think maybe a little bit relieved that he doesn't have to speculate about that anymore, because he's really happy to be here, and he knows that the biggest chance for him to be top scorer in the league, which is a second ambition of his. You know, the first one is to do as well as possible with the team, and then obviously the second big ambition for him, and it should be as a goal scorer and as a forward, it is to score as many goals as possible, because it will help us and it will help him move on. He knows that the best chance he gets for that is to be here and continue where he started, because we are producing a lot of chances for our forward players, and especially for him, and some of them he's producing on his own, because he plays in a very good team. He's happy, we're happy, and it's been quite uncomplicated, actually.
Their Motherwell manager, Jens Bertel Askew. I know he talks about the fact that Tawanda is relieved that the speculation is over, but I think Motherwell as well, they're very relieved that they've managed to fend off the interest that was coming, because I think they were a little afraid to lose him because he's been central to their success this season.
Yeah, I think they're more relieved than Tawanda. I think with Tawanda, I wouldn't describe it as relief. I think he would have been, of course, anticipating that there could have been the possibility of a big move. Yeah. Either to any one of the old firm, Celtic or Rangers, or even a move into England, back home, where he was with Leicester City before. So for him, he'll feel he's done enough. I think you take a look at his form, 18 goals, 13 coming into the league, top scorer in the Scottish top flight, and playing at a Motherwell side that is really a team that not many people would have been tipping before the start of the season to be making such an impression. And I do believe that with his performances, it's built the stock of Motherwell, especially in Zimbabwe, as well as in Africa. Mashinisi, of course, he really got the attention of the continent with that wonderful solo effort against Bafana Bafana.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, fans from Cote d'Ivoire, Senegal, Cameroon, we're all sitting up. South Africa, we're wondering, where does he play? You know, what does he do? And so that interest was piqued as a result of that. So I think Motherwell owe a lot to Mashinisi.
Yeah.
The one thing that I hope that they will not do is frustrate him when the time does come for him to make a move to a bigger and better club, and perhaps to a bigger and better league.
And you've got to think to yourself that time for him to move is likely the off-season, Alois. The off-season window, it possibly won't go beyond that, because in truth, if he carries on this trajectory, he's definitely got nailed on almost to be a top goal scorer in Scotland. Scotland, and that'll mean that there'll be interest from bigger clubs, bigger leagues, and away he goes.
Yeah, definitely, Bay. I think he has actually built his stock now. He's valuable. To be honest, you won't stay at Motherwell for long, and I didn't want the idea of him going in this window during this
really season.
I didn't want him to go.
Why?
I want him to scoop that top goal scorer award. He will cherish it for the rest of his life. He will have it on in his cabinet that I was top goal scorer in Scotland, and this year with so many goals. So I'd like, because the move will still come, and it can actually come even bigger after he has got the award, holding the award. He is the top goal scorer of Scotland, and he is having, I think it comes bigger now. You know, now we have teams like Blackburn, and they still they have got a chance to get him, the smaller teams. But at the end of the season, when teams are really, really looking to strengthen their teams and all that, that's when you can actually see the big guys coming in.
Yeah, and Tawanda Mashwanisi himself will want a big move. I'm not sure if the top goal scorer gong, the golden boot gong, figured in his speculation, because I think if it was just Celtic and Rangers, I think he'd have likely thumbs up the deal and moved on. The fact that he's staying is of benefit to him because there's stability there. Yeah, he knows he's in familiar surrounds, and then as we move on, it'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, Barry, just on Scotland or Rangers is good. It maintains that top goal scorer award.
Yeah.
So if he is going to Celtic or Rangers, it's all fine.
You know, the only danger then would have been that in a new setup, you're not guaranteed that you're gonna get the same throughput.
I think what the manager there was talking about, just in terms of the throughput that they've managed to create, I think it's very key. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you don't want to stay too long. I think when these offers are coming, there's often a ripe time for a move. I think it possibly would have started now. I think those moves would have started now. Will his stock and trade grow as the rest of the season finishes out and then he gets an even bigger move? Possibly. But there's a lot more in the way of movement in that period as well. So you don't know what's going to come out of it. So for me, I would have had him move now. I think when you're this red hot...
Strike the iron.
The risk for me is if he suffers a dip in form.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it has the danger of almost making him a flash in the pan. That this was a purple patch.
Yes.
And so he's got to keep it going now until the end of the season. That's why I was happy that he scored a brace in his last match. It just keeps him riding the crest of that wave a bit longer. And the more he rides it, I think the more that obviously he's going to be able to guarantee himself a bigger and a better move. I can't see him still in Motherwell at the beginning of next season.
And I want to stay with you, Mike. We look at the moves of Mnashe Karanganga, Tawanda Chirewa, Marvelous Nakamba. No doubt the Warriors gaffer, Mario Maniniko, will be happy that his players are moving from the clubs where they were, and they were bit part players. Likely where they're going to get more minutes. It'll be good certainly for the March window and the qualifiers a bit later in the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what Mario Maniniko has got, I think he's got a nice bedding in period before the competitive action really starts. There are a number of friendly matches. I think they'll play probably a minimum of 4 matches between now and September.
Okay.
And that really gives them an opportunity to try out new players, I don't anticipate that the squad will remain the same as it was in Morocco. I think there might be 1 or 2 changes, if not 3 or 4 changes in the squad, even more. And so there are already rumours circling around players retiring from the national team, and so those are bodies that are going to be replaced. And Mario Maniniko, of course, has been in Europe. He's been in the United Kingdom, especially just running his eye over a few options that are in that country that could possibly fit into his Warriors project. So he'll be happy. He needs some steady heads because, you know, when you're rebuilding a side, I do believe that it's important that you do have a spine that's been there, that's done that knows your style of play, that knows the team culture, that understands the expectations of fans and how Zimbabwean football is. And so players like Marvelous Nakamba, who is his captain, Mnashe Karanganga, those players getting regular game time, I think, is absolutely critical. And also critical are players like Jalai, who have now made the move from Dynamos, with all due respect. It's a Dynamos that's been swimming in the shallow waters for the past few years.
Or the deep waters of relegation.
These are the shallow and murky waters of relegation in Zimbabwe. He's now gone to Durban. It's not really a glamorous club in South Africa, but it's a more professional setup.
Play some sweet stuff.
I've watched a couple of games that Jalai has played. And you can tell that, you know what, he's going to have to, I think he's going to be a better player for it at a club like Durban City. The structure is a lot better. The defensive setup, I think, requires him to be a defender more than a wing back. So he's having to defend quite a bit at Durban City. And so if he sharpens his skills, hones his skills as a defender, I think we could get proper value from Jalai as a fullback. That's where I prefer him for the national team, as a fullback, as opposed to him playing out in midfield, because I do believe he's got the pace to match any winger, and he's got the tenacity to match, you know, tricky players. And so I think Mario Marinika will be happy with some of the developments that have happened around potential national team players over the last few weeks.
Yeah, and that European visit that you talked about, we understand he had chats with Mashani Ise, Nakamba. He even spoke to Isaac Mabaya, the likes of Shane Marodza, who could come back into the mix.
I guess we've answered a question that's come from Motape in Chitungwiza, who wanted to know which team Nakamba signed for, Sheffield United, the Blades, or Sheffield Wednesday, the Owls. We can confirm it's the Owls. It's Sheffield Owls. Wednesday. Yeah, and they're not in great form, the team. So it's a bit of a sticky one. That one.
I hear they're also in administration at the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
Sidney Mapepa in Bindura says, good evening, pundits. On Tawanda's issue, I agree with Alois. I think he has done well to stay for now. Tawanda is scoring goals, and I see him continuing in that projectile. At the end of the season, we will see him with more goals. Right. Then another message here that says, I don't think players like Arubi, Lunga, and Nakamba Vashadiwa Mutim. I'm blessed, Gwindi in Chiwa. And then someone had to answer on Maswan. He said, Alois Ataura Semunu Webora for real.
Yeah, and so when Mario Marinika touches down, he's going to continue his tour of visiting players, potential players for the national team in Bulawayo, Gweru, Mutare, all other areas around this country as well. So I think it's a great initiative by the national team coach. All right, let's give you a local sports news roundup with Chris before we talk about the Super Bowl.
Hey guys, it's Tom Trewa here, and you're listening to ZFM Sports.
Z. The home front. Local sports news and analysis.
To local sports news with some rugby. The Zimbabwe Sables were handed a demanding yet exciting fixture list at the 2027 Rugby World Cup. The Sables opened their campaign against Wales on the 2nd of October in Adelaide before returning to the same venue to face England on the 8th of October. Their pool stage concludes on the 15th of October with a clash against Tonga in Townsville. In squash news, Zimbabwe's men's squash champion Ryan Guidzima produced a strong showing at the Mossel Bay Diaz Open PSA Challenger Tour in South Africa, but bowed out in the semi-finals after a hard-fought loss to Egypt's Ahmed Said Sobhi. Second seed Guidzima went down 10-12, 11-9, 12-10, 3-11, 8-11 to third seed Sobhi in a grueling 79-minute five-set battle. In swimming news, so we finish off, Zimbabwe's Kirsty Coventry, an NCAA champion at Auburn University in the United States, member of the International Swimming Hall of Fame and current International Olympic Committee president, has been awarded the Charles McCaffrey Award by the College Swimming and Diving Coaches Association of America, selected by the CSAA Board of Directors. The Charles McCaffrey Award recognize a collegiate swimming or diving graduate who has achieved outstanding success beyond the pool, exemplifying leadership, service, and lasting impact on sport and society.
Summer's here.
Come on.
Turning up the heat this summer with more music from the 90s to now.
90s to now in the sunshine. Another night, another dream, but
front of the grid to the back of the net, it's ZFM Sport. International Sports News Roundup, where the world comes out to play. Whether it's the NBA or NFL, the best of America on ZFM Sport.
We are out in the United States, and of course, the United States of America will grind to a standstill in the early hours of Sunday morning Central African time as it's time for the biggest sports event in American sport. One of the biggest sports events in the world, commercially, definitely the biggest single sports event anywhere in the world. It's time for the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 60 set to explode onto the gridiron stage as the number one seed, the Seattle Seahawks, square off against the resurgent New England Patriots at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. Two contrasting football philosophies collide: Seattle's relentless defense versus New England's dynamic offensive surge. Both teams are poised to write their own chapter in NFL folklore. Now let's get the pre-match thoughts from both quarterbacks ahead of the game, starting with Seattle Seahawks quarterback Sam Darnold and then New England Patriots quarterback Drake May.
The only thing that matters is, you know, if you believe in yourself, that's really it. You know, I always believed in myself. I knew that I could do this at a high level, and that was really it. That's what kept me going, and I knew at some point an opportunity would arise. Grew up watching, you know, a ton of great football players and a ton of great football teams get to this moment and make great plays, and I feel like, you know, whenever that happened after a Super Bowl, I was always, you know, emulating that in my backyard, my front yard with my friends. So, yeah, I always dreamed of moments like this.
I think when you embrace it, when you try to, you know, build an identity and you carry it on the road with you. I think it started with, you know, back in Miami. We got our first one on the road, and I think that really kickstarted it. I think being able to start 1-0 and be able to, you know, build a kind of a trend of winning games on the road and starting kind of a win streak on the road, that's tough in this league, and it's tough to do. And I think that one last week was kind of the epitome of what this Road Warriors is like. It's not pretty. It's not going to be everything we wanted, but there's times on the road where we've been, you know, on fire, and there's times when you're just trying to do whatever you can to win. I think that was playoff football's about.
See. Right. I love the fact, Barry, that we set it up rather nicely there. Mm. Contrasting styles.
Yeah.
The Seattle Seahawks defense, mm-hmm. You know, and there's so many philosophies we've heard in sport around the importance of defense, mm-hmm. how defenses win you titles,
yep.
And championships. But they're up against a very, very, very explosive New England Patriots side.
Absolutely.
That have built their season on offense, mm-hmm. on attack.
Yep.
And even over the years, the New England Patriots in their prime, with Tom Brady as their mm-hmm. quarterback, it was all about the attacking play.
Yeah, when
they could keep you out, Super Bowls, yeah. But it was all about how they could break you down mm-hmm. from an offensive point of view. It looks like we got the perfect clash for the Super Bowl.
We certainly do. It's like the irresistible force versus the immovable object, almost. But you look at the New England Patriots, I think momentum is certainly on their side. Listen, think about it. To gain 10 wins on the previous season
yeah.
is a major... and we look at football clubs. That, mm-hmm. That's a 30-point swing if we put it in football parlance. You can't do that. It's simply not done. And so the Patriots, I think, have got the momentum. They've got the improvement. They've gone back to tradition, as you pointed out, in terms of being offensively based team. The defense is not too shabby. A few two turnovers here and there, and the Seahawks could take advantage of that, but certainly offense is going to be the key.
Definitely will be the key, and of course there is a bit of a fear around New England that they are rather youthful, I think, on both sides of the ball, and that it could lead to a bit of volatility in execution when put under pressure, because they will certainly be put under pressure by the Seattle Seahawks, who we want to talk about, Chris. And look, who do we look to when we take a look at the Seahawks and say, okay, in a game where it's probably going to be very tight, I don't see a blowout victory for either side. Yeah, this is going to be a very tight arm wrestle. Who are the players, you know, one or two that you feel like this could be the guy to make a difference?
I think when it comes to playmakers, their wide receiver, Jackson Smith and Jigba, I think
sounds
one
like
of the...
from Cameroon.
Or Nigeria.
You play with indomitable lions.
So he's one player I think really capable of explosive plays, shift momentum in a game. He's one of those players. And I think also the quarterback, Sam Darnold, he's been inconsistent, turnovers creeping into his game, but just in terms of what he's been able to do for this team, you can't look past him as well at QB there. And also Shaquem Griffin, linebacker, he's a key lead in terms of that defense. Lots of great instincts and sideline to sideline energy. He's really set the tone in terms of what they've been able to do defensively and consistently making some great tackles. So I think just those three players, quarterback, wide receiver, linebacker, I think really coming together there, I think, to pose a real threat, or like Barry was saying, an immovable object for the other side of the draw.
All right, Super Bowl 60 takes place at Levi Stadium in Santa Clara, California, bringing the game back to the Bay Arena for only the third time in history. And the matchup between the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots is notable because these teams haven't met in this game since Super Bowl 49, adding a narrative of revenge and renewed rivalry. Let's talk about some of the record-breaking commercials, Barry, because the Super Bowl isn't just sport. Yeah. It is a money-making machine.
Yeah, it certainly is, and you look at it, advertising is a big part of the Super Bowl, and listen, brands put out Super Bowl ads. They launch products during the Super Bowl. And so as a result, I think the NFL has begun to, and the broadcasters have begun to cash in. And now, a 30-second spot, 30-second commercial.
Yeah, it's just one 30-second ad.
30-second ad. Yeah. Not
where
multiple
the, where
bookings.
The sides are.
30.
No, just once.
Just once. $10 million.
That is crazy.
And this is, guys, if we go back maybe 4 years ago, this spot was costing you $5
million. Yes.
So it's doubled.
It's double up.
It's 100% increase in just a space of a four.
And you guys, I mean, to put it into perspective, you guys are marketers.
Mm.
This would be the budget. The total annual budget
of five blue chips.
Of five blue chip companies in Zim.
Okay, it's maybe three, not five.
Five. We work in the industry.
They're not spending this cash. Or this would be the budget of over half the league. In our top flight.
Agreed.
Straight away.
The budget, the annual
immediately.
Budget.
Yeah.
Straight away.
Immediately.
Straight away. And that's only because of the Scotlands and Hard Rocks of
the
world.
Yeah, absolutely. Otherwise, ordinarily, this would actually take care of the entire league.
Yeah,
everybody. Over the course of the season. The halftime show, Chris, a lot of people actually...
Oh, yeah.
The interest in the Super Bowl is more than the football.
Yes.
And sometimes may not even be the football. It's the entertainment at halftime.
And they've managed to do that, to turn this into... And I think America's very good at turning it into a showpiece more than just the football around it. I think people, even if you're on this time zone, you're going to wake up and the first thing you want to see is the halftime performance.
Mm.
You'll likely just check the score, then the halftime performance, then possibly take
the
a look at the highlights. But I think the halftime show is very critical, and it's a lot of artists have built careers and expanded their careers over that halftime show. This year's Bad Bunny. I think they are getting more and more, what can I say, relevant people when it comes to the Super Bowl halftime, which is possibly why we've seen that increase in terms of the spend that we're seeing, because they're getting more eyeballs through the halftime show.
Absolutely. And so kickoff is at 1:30 a.m. early Monday morning, of course, Zimbabwe time. And the national anthem will be performed by singer Charlie Puth. Is he?
Huge. That's huge. Yeah.
Massive.
Charlie Puth is massive.
Massive.
Nah, he's massive.
He's not Whitney Houston, man, or one
she's
of these
dead,
guys.
Really?
I know, but the rendition she gave.
Yeah,
of
no,
100%. National anthem.
But this is no, whoa, Barry. No, it's not today's Whitney Houston.
What's his genre? Do you know who my favorite anthem singers are?
Huh?
My favorite anthem singers in American sport.
Yeah.
Because they capture
the country singers.
The country singers. Yeah. The country singers nail it because they capture
what America is.
Yes.
They capture it.
Charlie Puth has this like staccato type flow about him. That's quite
intriguing. When the country singers hit it and they talk about, you know, when the bombs did this, it's like you're in Normandy.
The ramparts.
The ramparts, yes.
Don't sway.
That's it. Oh my goodness. Come on, America. No. They know how to. You know what America does emotion very well.
Very similarly to
Liverpool in the English Premier League.
Very
emotion is a big part of it.
I hate to agree with you, but Liverpool's social media, they captured the essence of that brand so that you'll never walk alone.
Yeah.
They've managed to stretch this and means more. Make that thing come
alive.
There's
still room on our boat, Chris. Plenty of room.
I'm just a marketer, guys. Just a marketer.
She's comfortable where she is.
At Villa.
Hi, my name's Ryan Cairns, Sunshine Tour professional golfer, and you're listening to ZFM Sport.
Around the world in 60 seconds. International sports news.
We begin in Sri Lanka, where ahead of the ICC T20 Cricket World Cup, England head coach Brendan McCullum has praised the way Harry Brook has dealt with the recent controversy, but admits his white ball captain is a work in progress away from the cricket field. In news from England, Formula One pundit Martin Brundle expects Oscar Piastri to come back with a vengeance after narrowly missing out on a maiden title last year. In the United States, 11-time All-Star guard James Harden is being traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers, with the LA Clippers agreeing to send him to the Eastern Conference during his highest scoring season in 6 years. And in the United Arab Emirates, where we touched down, LIV Golf has criticized what it says is an unprecedented ruling by Official World Golf Ranking to award ranking points only to the top 10 finishers at the series events in 2026.
Lock it. CFM Serial is untouchable.
Fan Zone. Get in touch with the team and have your say your way.
Operator.
0772-168-045. That is our WhatsApp number. Straight into the studio. Send us your messages and we will try and read them. Anzi, guys, mighty Jokonga Chisia, Honaya Karova Sina, and lost to Alcaraz in the final. The last part for me is what's key. I don't think Djokovic can win another Grand Slam.
I think it's going to be tough, but I don't think any of us said to Apera, because Djokovic is making semi-finals, making finals. So you have to be good to get there.
You see, winning,
he's not as good as he was, definitely, and Father Time catches up with us all. But, you know, I don't think any of us said that.
And with the current situation, it becomes difficult that if he's going to win any major title, he has to go through those two.
Yes.
And you have to go through those two right in the deep end of the tournament.
Be tough. What worries me is the ease in which, especially Alcaraz, has dealt with Djokovic whenever he's played him. If it was a case of Nole losing in five set thrillers and so forth, you'd say, well, there's a chance. But there's just a way in which, sort of like Alcaraz, when he gets on top of him, he totally... And this here is Djokovic's best surface, the one in Australia. That was his best surface.
It is.
And the minute that Alcaraz got the bit between the teeth, you could just tell that, you know what, there was a difference there. Like you said, he's not a bad player, but he's up against a superior player. And I believe 100%. He's a superior player because of the youth.
Yes.
And because of the movement.
Yes.
Djokovic doesn't have the same movement now.
No, he doesn't.
And you can tell that when he was being shifted from side to side, it took a toll. It never used to. 8 years ago.
And critically, when he was trying to move Alcaraz, guys had answers. Yeah. Shots that you could see were certain winners against any other opponent.
They absolutely wouldn't work. With Alcaraz, for me, it'll always be a question of fitness. I think he's on the right trajectory, but we say that about Nadal. I think Nadal for me was the best of those three. Yeah. The stat, very interesting stat. Nadal missed 17 Grand Slams at the peak of his career through injury. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because out of those 17, he would have converted at least, even if you say a third of those.
Yeah.
Say you'd have converted like six of those.
Yeah.
It would have been, his numbers would have been insane. But with Alcaraz, because they've got such a high octane physical style, can they go as long? Because we saw Nadal now in the latter years of his career, where he was limping from Grand Slam to Grand Slam.
Yeah, he couldn't go on.
Simbaba Lusaka says Kirsty Coventry's star continues to rise, Barry. Then I don't know much about American football, but each time the Super Bowl is mentioned, only one thing comes to mind: Michael Jackson's halftime performance during the 1993 edition.
That's rough, because that's us having a discussion about Emmanuel Jalai, and then you bring in Messi. Come on. Top of the top. We had Bad Bunny here. We're doing Charlie Puth doing the... And then you bring whip out Michael Jackson. Come on, brother.
Hi, the very best team in the country. I saw Mdara Bunjira rocking the Caps United third kit. Wow, what a kit. I'm a big fan here, Mr. Bunjira. He has been my inspiration. Hope to see him in the journalism field in the coming years when I become one. Once tried to take a photo with him, Murufaro, Ndika Manyi's one is security.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate
it. I don't think Alo saw. Probably you didn't even see that
there was somebody wearing a because I'm a picture of Tutu Ramash when I was Marrakesh.
Alo's another picture.
Guys. No. Obliging when people want to take
care of you. But you enjoy it.
Yeah, I actually enjoy it. That's why I'm saying I wouldn't say no because I love pictures.
Azi Nakuda in Greendale, he says that a Patriots champions and makes a better headline. I see them taking it. And Louis Anoponaire na Kim K. So
That's really sad. The Kardashian curse is a real thing, I think. And he doesn't need that this year.
But Louis is saying, I'm back. I'm back. Because, you know.
That's it. He's getting.
Got some.
There we go. The problem for Djokovic, this message reads, is that he's too good for the rest, but unfortunately not good enough to beat both in the same tournament. He just doesn't have the legs to play and beat both. That's a very good point there.
Yes.
Kuti, if he has to go where he faces both in succession, which he has to do now.
Most likely.
Because they're there.
He has to play one in the semifinal. Yeah,
one
in the final.
He has to beat the other in the final.
Then he doesn't have enough in the tank, especially if the draw is then cruel to him and makes him play the second semifinal. Yeah. It's a tough ask.
Yeah. So what we're saying is that it's going to be tough for him to win another slam. But if the draw is kind to him, and he only has to face one on the way to the final and faces that one, let's say in a semi-final, and the other one's been eliminated on the side of the draw.
Maybe he has a chance.
Then he has a chance.
That's, guys, you're right about Djokovic. Last he faced Sinner in three Grand Slam semi-finals and the other to Alcaraz. As long as these two are fully fit, it's going to be extremely difficult for him to win a Grand Slam. Yeah. That's Gerald in Greencroft. Djoko messages. Yeah, it's true. Djoko is old, and that knee injury has slowed his game. And look, it's the age, guys. And he's got 24 Grand Slams.
Yeah,
that's absolutely incredible.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, phenomenal.
And look at it this way, guys. The last 9 Grand Slams have been won by either Sinner or Alcaraz, one of those two gentlemen. So that just proves that Abanata.
Your hit music station. My station. Your station. It's everybody's station. ZFM Stereo. All the rivalry.
Goal for Liverpool early on Derby Day.
All the stars.
There goes Haaland. He's on his way again. He's hungry. He's scored. He always does. He always will. Nothing more certain.
And all the game-changing moments.
We find a way through. You bet he can. That is top, top class.
All the updates from the Premier League on ZFM Sport.
All right, now Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta believes Arsenal will use the, quote, magical feeling of reaching the League Cup to fuel their Premier League title charge. Arteta's side beat Chelsea 1-0 in the semi-final second leg last night as Kai Havertz netted with virtually the last kick of the game to seal a 4-2 aggregate victory. Let's hear from Super Mikel Arteta.
Well, joy, I think happiness, I think all the work that everybody at the club does to take the club, the team, the individuals to the highest level and start to compete for major trophies. At the end, when you have the opportunity to see yourself in Wembley, it gives the right reasons to everything that we do. I would say that. So everybody's obviously so happy, and together we're going to try to win it. When I saw Declan playing that ball and Kane going through, I said, we will score now. It was perfect. The reaction of the finishers on the bench, the staff, the crowd, it was a great moment.
Now, it was a cathartic triumph for the Gunners, who had lost their previous four semi-finals in the 2025 Champions League and League Cup and 2022 League Cup and the 2021 Europa League. And you could tell it, Alois, by the celebrations after the final whistle. They really felt this one. And I think there was a bit of nerves there to say, here we go again. It could unravel right now.
Yeah, I think they could actually feel that maybe, Chelsea could come back, and that goal was really, was all the time, you know, at 3-2, it was always delicate. It was always delicate, and you could sense now the relief when they did manage. But I'm happy for them, you know, honestly speaking, because that can actually assure that, you know, we can do this. You know, we've got one down, let's go. I'm actually also happy with the way the clubs have now responded to the Carabao Cup. You know, in the past few seasons, a lot of teams didn't really bother much about the Carabao Cup, but you can actually feel now probably it's coming back. Now clubs are fielding their strong sides.
I think Pep,
the Carabao.
Pep was responsible for that.
Yeah, exactly.
What Pep did was that he fielded his strongest side in the Carabao Cup. He went for it. Remember, I think
and
they took
said it's a medal, it's a trophy.
They took it, what, four times in a row?
Four times,
absolutely. And other sides now realize
the cabinet it's a trophy.
So I think important for him, in as much as Alex Ferguson destroyed the FA Cup, when he took his side to the World Club Championships and decided that he was not going to take the FA Cup seriously, that seriously dented the image of the
that
FA
is
Cup.
Really
FA. And it's never recovered.
It hasn't the magic of
South Africa destroyed because Africa.
With time some development.
Exactly. Chris, very quickly from you, the Arsenal are playing some really sweet stuff, but there is an air of pragmatism in how they're playing. When you look at their focus on set pieces, when they don't have the ball, they are happy to say, right, okay, fine, we don't have it now. You take it, but we're going to be defensively solid. So it looks like Arteta learnt in the years when it wasn't going his way.
So the team has matured and so has Arteta, just in terms of approach. I think there was a bit of a different feeling and just how he approached things, where it was more gung-ho, we're going for it in every single scenario.
We play one way.
And that's it. And I think we've seen him grow, and we've also watched the team mature. The players themselves have matured as well. So I think it's a coming of age almost, and I think in this season we'll possibly see Arsenal, you know, do the unthinkable, but also just possibly pick up one of these trophies along the way as well.
The newspaper headline will say that Arsenal's time has come, says Meadsy. Tonight's other semi-final seeking to overturn a 2-goal first leg deficit. Newcastle United visit the Etihad Stadium to face Manchester City in an intriguing semi-final second leg showdown. Let's go across to Italy, where AC Milan coach Massimiliano Allegri believes there is still room for improvement for his Milan side, despite picking up a 3-0 victory away against Bologna in the
the absence of Rafael Leao, Christian Pulisic and Alexis Salamakis last night. They played well, but Bologna themselves will consider themselves a little bit unlucky because they looked good last night.
Yeah, they're a very decent football inside Bologna. They'll give you a game, and they love the fact that they're an honest team, which means that they know how to use the ball when they're in possession. And it's not just about low blocks and keeping numbers behind the ball and frustrating the opposition. They actually do try and get in and amongst you. They do try and play. So a good win, this one, for AC Milan. I think it just keeps things very interesting at the top of Serie A, with, of course, Inter, their city rivals, leading the way. They're the closest challengers now. And perhaps, realistically, especially at this stage of the season, they're the only ones who can challenge Inter Milan. They're 5 points behind. The next best team is Napoli, the defending champions, who are 9 points behind, and Juventus, who are 10 points behind. Credit to Juventus, though, who have recovered from a very disastrous start to the season, to put themselves in the frame with some really, really good performance under Luciano Spalletti. He's a really good,
he's a good coach.
I mean, that is coaching.
Yeah,
that's the same players.
Yeah, definitely.
And they've turned around a corner. But for AC Milan, I think it's important. Over the last 5 years, Serie A has had the most thrilling title race.
Yes, sir.
To the last day, to the last weekend.
Yeah.
This season, it looks like Inter is threatening to run away with it, with Christian Schivo in his first season.
In his first season, and he's got another chance to pull a further 3 points away tonight. Well, no, it's a Coppa Italia game where he takes on Torino. Inter Milan takes on Torino in a Coppa Italia quarterfinal. So that's some Italian action for you tonight. In Spain, Barcelona coach Hansi Flick was proud of his team performance as the Catalans ended Albacete's giant killing run in the Copa del Rey, winning 2-1 away to become the first side to book a semi-final berth, but only after surviving a late comeback from the second tier outfit. Barcelona missed a lot of chances in this game, and in truth they nearly got punished for it late on, because Albacete, hey, Van Gogh, we're...
Yeah, I think they didn't take their chances when they had.
Yeah.
And they were going to rule the chances, because, like you say, that they were on the back foot towards the end of the match. But fortunately enough, they hung on. They really did hang on.
Indeed. Tonight's Kings Cup quarterfinals. Alaves takes on Real Sociedad. Valencia versus the Athletic Club. In Germany, Martin Terrier, Patrick Schick, and Jonas Hoffmann scored as Bayer Leverkusen moves past St. Pauli 3-0 at home to make the German Cup semi-finals. Leverkusen lacked fluidity but were too good for struggling St. Pauli, who have now won just one of their past 9 games and sit second last in the Bundesliga. And all Bundesliga.
Jonas Hoffmann. Remember him, Alice? We watched him play for Dortmund.
Yeah.
Was that?
Jonas Hoffmann.
Well, yeah.
He was in Klopp's Dortmund.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Sure. And he's still doing it.
Yeah, and he's still doing it.
At a high level for Bayer Leverkusen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Leverkusen will look at the Pokal as possibly a relief for them, because this is a Leverkusen side that only a couple of seasons ago we were celebrating them.
They were like,
As being the Invincibles. And then the fall away has been great.
Yeah, it has been. And I think they're going to take a look at possibly just leaving with it. You know, we're leaving here with something.
Yeah.
And it's going to be this cup.
And the semi-final is a good way to start. Tonight, it's Holstein Kiel who take on Stuttgart. We've got to go. Our time is up, but we're back tomorrow, so don't miss out on Throwback Thursday. May God richly bless you. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Mandy, out.
Lionel Messi has conquered his final peak. Lionel Messi has shaken hands with paradise.
The biggest sports stories.
Max Verstappen has taken the checkered flag to win the Japanese Grand Prix.
The biggest interviews.
These are happy tears, I guess. I don't know. And I wouldn't be Serena if it wasn't Venus. So thank you, Venus.
And all the analysis right here.
There's no question that LeBron James, at the worst, is a top 3 player in the history of basketball since the game was invented. I don't want to hear that. It's just blasphemous.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.